When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, and we are officially into the international window. World Cup qualifiers coming back Thursday night. The U.S. men's national team will take on El Salvador in Columbus, Ohio. Greg Berhalter dropped a roster on us on Friday. Jared, it landed on top of us. We're working on getting out from underneath it. We're here to talk about the roster. It feels like a long time, but also not, since we did this, since we had meaningful national team games coming that we would get very nervous for. This is the window, right? This is the one.
This is the home stretch. And real quick, Nick, can you put the graphic back up? The graphic? The
Greg Berhalter graphic?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, doesn't that look like if Tanner from the Bad News Bears grew up? You remember which one Tanner was? He was like long blonde-haired, like, toe-head kid.
You are aging yourself like...
That looks like if Tanner from the Bad News Bears grew up. Go Google Tanner Bad News Bears. The 70s one.
Right. The one with Walter Matthau and Tatum O'Neal and all of that. Kelly Slater and all of that, right? Is it Kelly Slater?
Yes.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah, Kelly Lee.
Why did I say Slater? That's a surfer or something,
Kelly,
right?
Kelly Slater is a surfer.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, I got my wires crossed there. That's like all that information bouncing around my head.
Yeah, listen, and Berhalter gonna Berhalter, right? So like, there's like a lot about this. 80% of this. What did we say that we thought we could get 20 of 26? That's what we said the other day when we did ours.
Yes, I think we said that we thought we could get close.
And how many did he end up calling up total? What was his total here?
28 players he called up for this.
All right, did we even get 20 right? Can we look real quick if we got 20 right?
Oh, man. Well, so I don't. Do you have like the? Did you write it
down?
I remember
what we said.
You
do. I remember what we said.
Well, let's.
I can tell you that Brooks Lennon was not on it.
Let's do this thing. All right. Let's go through this and go. I'll give you all the names and then we'll come back around. We'll talk them out and you'll also tell me like, did we get it right? Let's talk about goalkeeper Sean Johnson, Gaga Slonina, Zach Steffen, and Matt Turner. Now, we had all three. We didn't expect Gaga to be there necessarily, right?
I didn't know they were going to do four. Yeah, we had the three. Yeah, so that definitely we're three for three there, so that's three towards our 20.
Okay. You know what? Let's just do this by position group rather than try to come back around, because I want to say about – I had a couple of people say, why is he there? Why is Gaga there? Why not? He's out of season. I guess he could be in camp with Chicago right now.
What's a 17-year-old kid going to do in January anyway?
He's obviously not going to play.
Fortnite?
He's obviously not going to be in a World Cup qualifier. He's just there for the ride. He's just there for the experience.
Yeah, listen, is this guy the future? Like right now, like you have Sean Johnson, Matt Turner, Zach Steffen, all what, 28 plus?
Yeah, but I mean, they're still relatively young for goalkeepers.
No, but there's a 10-year gap to...
Yes, we've never, and very few countries ever look at a 17-year-old goalkeeper and go, yeah, that's the guy. He's going to be the guy. We wait until they're 23, and then we go, okay, now he might be the guy for 3 years or a cycle from now, right? I think Donnarumma is the only one I can think of in the recent, and maybe Kepa, who obviously has been a disaster at Chelsea, where they were extremely young, and you were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be, they're going to have this incredibly long, and then, you know, it's tough. It's tough to be that guy as a teenager as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, but the kid's going to have a World Cup qualifying camp under his belt for 2026 or something like that, if he starts to feature at that point. You know, it's just good experience.
It's fine. It is what it is. It's not a big deal. By the way, just real quick, mention that the Chicago Fire not only have Gaga Slonina, a 17-year-old who's in the national team picture and, you know, has been linked to a move to some pretty big clubs. Who knows if any of that is real? It looks like the Fire have another goalkeeper who's also 17 who could be going to Club Brugge in Belgium. Like, there's another 17-year-old in the team that in Chicago. I don't know how they're making goalkeepers like that in Chicago, but
glad
to
hear that we're still making keepers, because for a long time that was our only export for soccer.
Yeah. So I think these are the three keepers that Berhalter would call up to a World Cup roster if he was putting that together right now: Steffen, Johnson, and Turner. And we'll get to Matt Turner later and his situation and the question that is being asked about his future. We'll do that. Defenders: Reggie Cannon, Serginho Dest, Brooks Lennon, Mark McKenzie, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, DeAndre Yedlin, and Walker Zimmerman. You know, I think we had
We're at 10.
We had
right
Walker.
Now.
We had Robinson's both. We had Richards. Yep. I had Yedlin. Did we end up putting him on?
We ended up putting him on and taking off Reggie Cannon. So, I mean, technically, there was only a one.
Okay,
only,
so we didn't, one of we didn't net out as a positive there. We ended up.
Yeah,
we,
there is no Bello. There is no Scally. You know,
we,
like, so.
And
like,
we had Dest. We definitely had Dest.
We had Scally.
Brooks Lennon, we did not have. And I think we both ended up. I don't remember if Mark McKenzie made it, but I know we had John Brooks, and he ain't.
We
here.
Had him on the. We did not have Mark McKenzie in.
Because we had John Brooks in, and John Brooks is not
That's
on this
right.
roster. Look, I said this, Jared, and you know, I can't know everything. None of us do. Like what the true behind the scenes stuff is. I know when Berhalter was asked about Brooks, he said the only reason he's not here is because of form, not because of anything else. Because there are rumors, things have percolated about a relationship problem between Brooks and Berhalter. I know Brooks had that admission that he hadn't been playing well last time he wasn't called up. I don't know if he's going to do something similar now. I don't know exactly what's going on there. I think it's more than form, though. And I think that Berhalter, look, I understand he's not going to air dirty laundry. But, dude, we don't buy it anymore, especially when Brooks is back in the lineup at Wolfsburg and playing well.
Yeah, so you can't use – he's using form. He's hiding behind the form issue. And listen, he probably can't say what it is, but you can say it's something other than that. I mean, if you could tell us Weston McKennie's was something other than form, why can't you say, like, we're working on there's some healing still to be done in his position in the camp or the roster.
You know, do you think – and I did say on Twitter that I think he's got to come up with something better, that we're not buying this. But at the same time, let's put ourselves in the position of a head coach for the national team. And there is something that there is a miscommunication, you know, somebody's ego got bruised, whatever it might be. Maybe Brooks did something he wasn't supposed to do, right? And it wasn't publicly disclosed for whatever reason. I don't know, but maybe
you said McKennie had a wingman?
I don't – maybe McKennie did have a wingman. I don't know.
Ooh, man.
If something like that happened, should Berhalter say – I mean, again, he outed Weston McKennie on this. It was very public that Weston McKennie was sent home or sent back to Italy because he had broken a team rule and had broken COVID protocols. Should he, if that's the case, and again, we're just kind of hypothetically imagining things here. Should he say it now, 4 months after the incident with McKennie? Like, hey,
let's just put some like weird hypotheticals out there. None of this is true. None of this is something that we can prove or anything like that. But let's say that
weird hypotheticals. McKennie, yeah, that's yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's say McKennie had a wingman that night, and it was John Brooks, and they didn't know at the time that John Brooks went with him. Okay. You find out a few weeks later that McKennie wasn't alone. Brooks was there. Do you want to go through the media thing that you went through with McKennie all over again? And is it different
with a more veteran player?
When it's a veteran player. That's not a young guy that's making some mistakes at 21 years old. You know, you've got a guy that's, what, 28, 29? What is he? And already been through a whole World Cup. Played in a World Cup. Been through two cycles.
Yeah.
Is it different?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I can't say.
And listen, we have no knowledge of this. We're just throwing something out there right now.
Right. And, well, there's also just the thing, like, you know, working out the way that a coach treats various players. Should there be one rule for everybody? Everybody has the rules applied equally? Or, hey, if you're this player in this position and we have more of a need there, if you are more indispensable to the team right now, because whatever happened with Brooks the first time around, that he did not make that last roster for the games against Mexico and Jamaica, they beat Mexico, right? They played well enough to beat Mexico without John Brooks. So maybe he can say, well, we don't really need him that much. We got Mark McKenzie in reserve. We got Chris Richards out there. We got these other guys. We don't need John.
Thank God Walker Zimmerman stepped up.
But if, right. Well, that's, and Zimmerman proved
it. And you got Aaron Long on the
it.
Mend.
Well, and that's the other thing you can say is like, well, you're not John, whatever John Brooks did, I've got somebody that I trust who has performed at a high level in the national team since Brooks got dropped. You can't replace Weston McKennie the way you can replace John Brooks. I'm not saying that Walker Zimmerman is the same player as Brooks. He's not. But the drop-off between Brooks and Zimmerman is smaller than it would be between Weston McKennie and anybody else in that midfield.
Legit. Yes, I mean, that's sure. What we're probably potentially talking
say
about. Side, you know,
say,
like,
or say John Luca Busio. By the way, John Luca Busio, we're not getting to midfielders yet, not here because of COVID. So, you know, again, maybe that would change the things. Maybe that would have changed things for McKennie if somebody else had. Anyway, doesn't matter. John Brooks isn't here. So what kind of grade do you give this group? Are you comfortable with this group for three games?
The defensive core?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no reason to think that Miles Robinson and Walker Zimmerman can't shepherd this team through the last bit of qualifying. They've done a fantastic job. The USA is still, I think, the best defensive team in qualifying in CONCACAF.
That might be right.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think they still are. And they've probably played close to 30%, 35% of those games, and the most recent ones.
Both the United States and Canada have conceded five goals.
Five goals.
Yes.
In what, at this point, 11 games?
No, eight games.
Eight games out of 14. I'm thinking after this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, eight games out of 14. Yeah.
Five goals in eight games. That's a pretty damn good defensive record, and that's also with Matt Turner and the keeper for some of that as well.
Yeah, but, I have
no reason to think that these guys can't do it. The problem is going to be the third game, the middle game potentially, or whenever that one off game is going to be, because there's probably going to be one game you're not going to play both Miles Robinson and Walker Zimmerman.
Well,
that means McKenzie's going to have to take the start.
We can talk about lineups. I mean, we probably should on some level talk about that. I think that there is at least some thought out there that...
You think mix and match?
I think that there's some thought that Berhalter will... And I don't know why, because you don't have any evidence of this from the past, based on what he's done in other three-game windows. But there's some thought that because the travel is so light, because of where they put the games on home soil, and the game in Canada is where it is... that he might just run, and he's got fresh guys in the MLS players, whatever you want to say about that, that he might just roll out the
fresh,
best.
But also not mid-season form.
No, I know, and that's my concern, right? That's the issue I have. And you're going to put in a relatively cold keeper, regardless of whether or not Stefan or Turner, because they're not. Turner's definitely not playing any games, and Stefan gets one game a month that's worth anything if he's lucky. So you're putting in a cold keeper with a couple of cold center backs. And, you know, I like my beer cold, but I don't like my defensive core, my spine cold either. So, on that, so I don't know. Do you worry too much about
that?
Okay,
let's say you play You play Miles Robinson Walker Zimmerman and Miles Robinson.
Uh-huh, yes.
Let's say you play them the first game and you're planning on playing them the third game. If you leave them out of the middle game, Canada, is there a three-back set that you can put in a 3-5-2 for the Canada game? Because Mark McKenzie, when he's been used, has been mainly in a three-man back line. And you could also see that, man, Chris Richards, I think he's dynamic enough and mobile enough to play in a three-man back line as well. Who's the third guy if you do
this?
You're
not playing a three-man back line. We're past that.
He's done
that
it a few times.
He has, but I don't think there's any reason against the opponents you have coming up. I mean, you're going to add a body to midfield against Canada for what purpose? And leave center backs on. I mean, I know you have another center back there for cover, but I don't know, man. I feel like you know you're better in a 4-3-3. Play in a 4-3-3. Just play well in a 4-3-3.
I'm not saying I don't want a 3-5-2, but I'm just saying, like, I don't see a 3-5-2 option here.
Okay. So, by the way, coming back to this idea of the rotation and everything else, Berhalter said he offered nuanced answers on the topic of lineup rotation, noting that the roster is heavy in certain areas, namely winger and right back, in order to provide ample options where key contributors may not be at maximum fitness. There are some positions that we purposely are loaded in for that we don't expect players to be 90 minutes fit. We expect to be approaching in a platoon type of method where we can put guys on, we can take guys off, and we work that way. As long as they can go, they can play. When they can't give any more, then sub them out. When I look at the winger position in particular, we have Christian, Brendan, Timmy, and we'll talk about him coming in, Paul, Areola, and Jordan Morris, who are more than capable of playing that position. He also contended that the circumstances allow for key players to log heavy minutes in all three games. And he confirmed that the entire group is eligible to travel for Canada because of, you know, the issue of COVID and everything else. I'm not sure you can't play all three games. If you think about this, our travel's minimized. We have a 50-minute flight up to Canada, then another two-hour flight to Minnesota. It's no different than a player performing in his club three games in a week, so I'm not ruling out that a guy being able to play three games in a week.
And not to put anything too far ahead here, Christian Pulisic got rested this weekend.
He came off the bench, right?
Yeah, he didn't start, excuse me. I mean, he didn't start, but I think Tyler Adams maybe had a full rest. I don't know if he played
I don't think he played
in his game.
Weston keeps playing.
Yeah, but in those two players, two of the most critical players for the U.S., they're coming in rested, fully rested, able to play all three games, I think.
Yeah, and look, Yunus Moose has logged some extra minutes, but not kind of debilitating. He's played too much minutes, so you could conceivably...
Four starts in a row for...
You could run out the MMA center midfield three times. Why wouldn't you do that, right?
Okay, Nick Adams played 35 the minutes. 35 minutes.
But Adams has had like a fairly normal workload over the course of the last month or so. Kristen, okay, I thought Pulisic did come on. He didn't come on? Okay, regardless. Doesn't matter. I saw that Chelsea won. So I don't think minutes for the in-season guys are the issue. I think that the issue is the out-of-the-season players that you're relying on and their particular sharpness coming into the window. All right, let's get to the midfield.
You want to get to that midfield?
Yeah, let's do that. Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, Luca Dela Torre, Sebastian Lletget, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, and Christian Roldan. Now, okay, so Acosta has to be here no matter what you make of him, especially after the Panama performance and all of that. Has to be here. Tyler Adams has to be here. Luca Dela Torre, okay, you know, this is
awesome.
This is a little bit of extra cover for the McKennie Musah position. I think he's going to play.
I think it's more the Musah position myself, but yeah, definitely more
either
cover
way,
there, especially if you
way.
Can't bring Musah.
No, I definitely think he is not as dynamic attacking as McKennie is with arriving. He's not. You're asking him to do those. You're not asking him to be the guy who finishes things off or make the late run. You're asking him to be the guy who carries the ball, moves the ball forward, beats defenders, open things up, get the ball off of his foot to players like Pulisic, to players like Aaronson. That's what you're asking if he plays. And then obviously Sebastian Lletget is going to cause a lot of people to go crazy. Weston McKennie, of course, he's here. Moose is here, of course, and Roldan. We shouldn't be shocked, and yet everybody freaks out. Now, I guess the question is, who else, right? That's the same thing in defense. It's not John Brooks. Okay, that's the one that stands out. You can make an argument for a couple other players, maybe.
A few of the players Scally. That you would make arguments for, I mean, in midfield, though, in midfield, the few guys you would make arguments for have less caps than even Luca Dela Torre. Like, you could make the case for Tanner Tesman, who had another really good game against
Inter. I don't think anybody's seriously making that case, but I see what you're saying. Yes.
The guy started against Inter today. I know. This weekend, and looked pretty dang good.
He's so, kind of benefiting from, I don't know that I'm playing exactly the same position, but he kind of benefits from Busio having COVID, right?
But we are talking, listen, it's the best of a lot of poor options, right? We talked about the drop-off. If it's not Roldan, if it's not Lletget, who do you go to as those next names? Tessman's one of those names with Busio out.
Yeah.
Who are the other names? Mihaljevic, potentially.
Mihaljevic.
That's one there definitely is some credence to saying, why is he not here as an offensive option?
I told
option?
You. Look, I wanted to see what Mihaljevic. By the way, shout out to Georgi Mihaljevic's dad, who came up to me in Kansas City and said hi. That was very cool. I was like, nice. He said he listens to the show. He likes the show. Shout out to Georgi's dad. I want to see Mihaljevic. I want to see what he can do. He's obviously an excellent chance creator. Like, he's a facilitator of those opportunities. I told you I didn't think he was going to get a shot at this moment, though, because I don't think that Berhalter trusts him on the other side of the ball. Like, I don't think he has a complete trust yet.
But I think if you're going to bring 28 guys and you're chasing a game with 15 minutes left, what's the midfield substitution off the bench that's going to give you what you need to potentially break down a defense?
Is it going to be Sebastian
Lletget? I don't think see him breaking down a defense and helping you like create a goal. Mihaljevic is probably not a starter for this team. His role is probably not if we're tied or leading a game. But with 15 minutes left in the game, that's a midfielder that I want to have as an option. Luca Dela Torre is probably the other one. So maybe that's why Mihaljevic isn't here.
I think that Berhalter tends towards a different school of thought. I don't think he looks at his midfield and goes, I need to have a string puller. I need to have a creative guy. I think he looks at this midfield because it's a central midfield trio and a 4-3-3. And he says, I need guys who will cause chaos and create havoc. Or in the case of Musah, be the workhorse who can carry the ball. In McKennie, he's got a chaos maker, right? That's what McKennie's best role is. And I think he thinks of Roldan as that guy. Again, I know, grown. He's not at the level. But I think he believes that Roldan can run around and cause problems, right, with his energy.
Let's not forget, too, there's no reason why Jordan Morris can't step into midfield as necessary. Brendan Aaronson can step into midfield
They're not going to.
I'm saying 15 minutes left and you need a goal. That might be a substitution you make to get another attacker on.
I mean, if you were desperate.
The role I was talking about with Mihaljevic. Sure, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay, that's fair. There are a couple of names you could pull down and say maybe they should get a shot over the two MLS players. Again, not just out of season, but sort of not recently effective when they've played. However, I'm going to come back to this, and everybody's pointing out, by the way, that Luca Dela Torre probably isn't in this team if Gianluca Busio is healthy or not COVID positive, and that's probably true. That's a good point. I hope Luca
You can say the same thing about Walker Zimmerman 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, and I hope Luca takes his shot if he gets to play.
Yep.
Christian Roldan and Sebastian Lletget are not on this team just because Berhalter thinks they're good players. They're on this team because he thinks they bring something to the dynamic, to the chemistry, to the locker room, to the leadership elements of this. I mean, if you look at this midfield, Kellen Acosta's got to be the oldest guy on the list, right? He's got to be the oldest guy on the list.
I would think so.
I think he wants with
Jet second.
With McKennie and Musa and Tyler, I think he just wants, and the rest of the group, the young guys at the back as well, and the young guys in the forward pool. I think he just wants guys that he can talk to that are like, you know, senior-level guys.
There's a reason why Kellen Acosta, I don't think anyone's mad at Kellen Acosta's there. It's the closest thing back to Tyler Adams.
No.
But with Legette and Roldan, what he has, and I think most of U.S. soccer Twitter hates this, but this is the honest answer, he has guys that see out games. Those are two guys that see out games. They're guys that he can give direction to going on the field with 20 minutes left and will see out a game the way he wants it seen out. They don't care what everyone on Twitter is saying about how they're playing. If Legette's been told to control the ball, hold the ball, keep possession, he has to pass the ball backwards, he's going to pass the ball backwards.
Every coach looks to balance out the highest ceilings with the highest floor. Okay, so a coach isn't going to take a guy. He might take a player. He might take one or two or three players, depending on the position and the way his team operates, who have incredible ceilings, but can also be absolute disasters, or can possibly fall apart, or don't have consistency, or are very young and don't have the experience, and you don't know what they're going to give you. Coaches will take one or two or three of those players, but they also want guys who are just mid at everything, because that way they can trust them in whatever moment. If I need to find somebody to just, as you said, see a game out, I can turn. Again, I would take other players in a lot of these situations.
And we say this sometimes, and I know I say it, we say vanilla, and we say it like it's a bad thing. But honestly, it's the base for almost every flavor that you like of ice cream. You need the vanilla to make cookies and cream.
When you go to Cold Stone, they put it down first, right?
You need vanilla to make the cookie dough. You know, like, you need the vanilla sometimes, man.
That's true to a point. Again, it's a weird analogy, but it makes sense.
Definitely
forwards.
Have too much.
Brendan Aaronson, Paul Arriola, Jesus Ferreira, Jordan Morris, Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Tim Weah, ding, ding, ding on Timmy getting back, and Jossy Zardes.
Huge.
So, again, I'm encouraged. It makes me feel a lot better that Tim Weah is healthy enough to be in this team.
Yeah.
I don't know his fitness level. He did start for a little week on the weekend, so at least they believe he's 90, or, you know, starter fit, 65, 70 minutes fit. The rest of the group, it's a mixed bag, right? And it's not like Ricardo Pepi is in this incredible form still, and we can kind of point to him and go, chosen one. He hasn't scored, and he's still adjusting right now.
Pepi gets two games, you think?
Well, and the other game is what? Zardes? Is you're suggesting that Zardes will start the other one? I think Pepi can get three games. I think he can start Ricardo Pepi in all three games. Why not? If he's good,
I guess it depends how many minutes he goes, you know, and how he's looking, you know. But I think Jossy Zardes is potentially the Canada starter, just because, once again, Berhalter's going to have to go into that Canada game with a plan, and he trusts Jossy Zardes to execute a plan. So I think maybe you see Tim Weah in the two home legs, and you potentially see Paul Arriola starting on the away leg, because he likes what he does defensively. He's sound. And once again, I'm assuming that there's going to be a big, huge, maybe seven player switch for the Canada game.
I really don't think so. Again, those quotes indicate that
you can't play Tim Weah three games, dude.
Why not? Why not?
He just got back to playing for his team, dude. You can't play three games.
Tim Weah may be an exception. Tim Weah, you're right. That might be an exception. Jordan Morris isn't going to play more than spot minutes.
He can't play three games. Well,
I don't think he's going to start. You can't start Jordan Morris.
No, I don't think he'll start. I don't think he's going
to
start.
You're not going to do that. Again, I think Pepi probably gets a chance to start with Zardes coming on in the last half hour, at least one of those games.
Okay, so game one, it's 0-0 to the 70th minute.
Sure,
Zardes comes on, goes to the 80th minute. Zardes gets the goal that Pepi couldn't get. Is Zardes starting the second game?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. No.
Because I think it's possible that's what happens.
I mean, look, if Zardes scores, it does throw a wrench into all your perceptions of what this is. It hasn't happened enough, right? It hasn't happened enough where you can be like, I trust Jossy Zardes to be our goal scorer, right? Okay, let's not go there. You better watch the live one. If you're listening to the podcast later, you better watch the live show, because I can't say that comment on the air.
I'm not asking you to say it. I'm just throwing some flavor out there.
All right, so look.
We got some nice takes
again
in the chat. I'm just
let's just go through this. Aaronson is a must. You're going to put him in. Everybody has him on the roster. Christian Pulisic, of course. Tim Weah, of course. Pepi, that's four. After that, and we came into this. I don't know. How many did we get? How many did we get on the mids?
21.
We did end up with 21?
21.
Okay. So, center forward, he takes Pepi. again, he's the chosen one. He had some great moments in 2021, late in the year. He's gone cold a little bit. He's adjusting to life in Germany. All of those things. He takes Jossie's artist. He trusts Jossie's artist. I just gave that explanation of how he wants guys who can do, you know, not have a drop. The ceiling isn't as high for these players, but they also have a floor that you know isn't going to be way, way down there, at least in terms of effort level for Jossie's artist, right? We know he's going to work. And then he takes Jesus Ferreira. Now, this is the second camp in a row he's done this.
I like
what
that.
And again, Solomon's saying, where's PFOC? PFOC's the only center forward scoring goals for the United States right now, or for his club team.
Here's my reason. I think I said it last week as well, but here's a couple things that why you bring Jesus Ferreira. One, the established connection with Ricardo Pepi, if you ever need to lean on it, okay? Two, he is the only person I feel you can put in there and play a false nine if the game was going where you wanted to make a change in formation, you could play a false nine and try to get Aronson and Pulisic further in behind and let him play out to them. So there is a reason for it. He's the only forward up there that gives you an entirely different look if you want to play one.
That is true. That is true. I don't know how effective we've been trying to do that. I mean,
you may want it to have different flavor.
He came on against Mexico and had a chance that he didn't put away, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yep.
Man, I don't know.
Set one up too, though, if I remember correctly.
No, I like him. I like him. I guess it's just that the runway hasn't been. And look, the thing about Berhalter is, like a lot of coaches, he does things that are frustrating because he applies different standards to different players and different position groups and different whatevers, right? He's not applying people. It's not fair that that player's in, but this other player's not. But that's not how coaches make decisions.
And here's
this.
The thing, and I know what Wesley was just saying. When is a false nine work for us? We don't try it often, you know, and I'm not advocating that we do. But what the false nine does, if you wanted to do it, is if you're observing that you're having a hard time unbalancing a back four, the false nine makes a center back step. And making that center back step, go back to the John Brooks game where he hasn't played again since.
Right.
In that three-man back line, when John Brooks had to step and he missed his step out and the whole thing was unbalanced,
trying to shift space from the wings to zone 14, right? You're just trying to get space in the middle of the
field. If for some reason Yunus Musa isn't operating enough in that midfield hole between the midfield and the front three, you have an option of trying to get someone into that space. Yeah. It's not perfect. Okay. It's not a magic bullet, but so it's something you could try.
Let's come back around to some of the wrinkles here. Now, somebody in the chat, I think it's Aldwolfa, I don't know how to say that, saying that why do you take one left back? So there's only one natural left back on this group, it's Anthony Robinson. We've seen Sergiño Despe left back for the U.S. men's national team. I think a lot of us have nightmares still from those experiences. Not that Dest is necessarily.
We say that, but he also scored a banger against Holland from
there.
He did. You know?
Yeah. So, and you know, somebody's also saying, why is Brooke Lennon?
Not Holland, Switzerland. I apologize.
Here's what's fascinating to me, okay? And I know it doesn't. George Bello is the starting left back for Atlanta United. He's not in this group. He's been with the group before. He calls up Brooks Lennon and they list him as a defender on the USsoccer.com website. Now, that's not always indicative of what the coach is going to do with the player. Sometimes they're in different groups and that's not how he uses them at all.
Yeah.
But is it possible that he thinks of Brooke Lennon as a backup left back at this point? I don't know. I mean, again, he's not a defender like that. It's sort of Sergiño Dest on the other side. But
here's what
we've
I think
seen
happened.
It before.
I think Joe Scally was the guy all along. Dude got COVID. They caught a little bit with in their planning. And I'm not saying you can't just say George Bello come in, but I think that they see Sergiño Dest as a better option at left back right now for these three games because you want to get 9 points and 6 points for sure, and you want to be on the attacking foot at home.
Okay.
So if for some reason Yedlin can't go, that second right back.
I know I poo-pooed it earlier, and I apologize. You know, as my longtime partner on the show, I should treat you with more respect, right, Jared? Like, if we were in couples counseling, I would be like, you have to listen, not just talk, Jason. I need to listen. There's at least some reason based on this list and the fact that Brooke Lennon is in it to imagine that there might be a three-man back line at some point, right? If you're gonna, Brooks Lennon's not a starter for most people. He's got one cap. People pointing out he was lost against Bosnia in December, but you've got a Sergiño Dest who's made to play wing back on the other side. You got a Brooks Lennon you're bringing in here. You've got, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And you've got enough center backs, even though he only brought four true center backs in a 28-man squad.
It's interesting. I mean, I think he just wants options. That's why you see a Jesus Ferreira. That's why you see a Brooks Lennon. You know, I think there's a couple guys in here that he's bringing. It's 28 guys. A lot of these guys are just not important, to be honest with you. But I think he wants the ability to do something different if it's out there. I think more than George Bello not getting the call, the person that should feel slighted is Sam Vines. I think Sam Vines is the guy that should feel more slighted than George Bello, that Brooks Lennon is in here and not him.
I think that's probably okay. I mean, again, you know, part of it can never be 100% an excuse, but it's hard to know. And you know, if Berhalter calls up, where's he at? Royal Antwerp?
Yeah.
Royal Antwerp. He calls up Royal Antwerp and he says, hey, we like what Sam is doing with you. He's been getting some time. We're going to call him up to the national team. And they go, yeah, you know, we'd like to get some more time with Sam in some training. With the international break coming, or Sam says, "Hey, I'm not 100%, or I don't feel completely comfortable leaving."
Yeah, that's fine.
Right now, I don't know. But for a player that young, it is certainly a possibility that there's a calculation around that.
And how long is Brooks Lennon?
I don't know. This okay. So
that's I would say out of everyone on the team, that's the one that it's hard for me to make a case for. Everyone else, like whoever he ended up choosing, I can figure out reasons why you brought him. The Brooks Lennon one is a question mark, but maybe he's going to make us all into haters. Maybe he'll prove us all wrong. I don't know.
I don't know. Phone lines are open if you want to get in and ask us or give your take on this. It's 717-727-2378. You can get to call up and talk to triumphant Cincinnati Bengals fan Nicholas Soup and Sausage. His team's in the AFC Championship game. Jared, did you know that there's football happening?
I did not know.
Have
until,
you heard of the Super Bowl? Have you heard
yes.
of it? Okay.
I got offered. I got asked, do you want to host a Super Bowl party? And I was like, no, I don't know.
In the middle of COVID, do you want to host a Super Bowl party? That also is the thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I'll pass.
Okay.
So interested. I ask you, game one, yeah. Columbus, El Salvador. What's your forward three?
My forward three. You don't want to do the full thing? You just want to do the forward three?
The forward three, I think, is the one that's, I mean, I don't know that most. The rest is going to, I think we can protect it pretty easy, but let's go ahead and run it through. That's fine.
Okay. Then let's do it. Just, I mean, you say it's easy, but you never know. All right. So
we're doing Berhalter's lineup, not ours.
We're
right?
doing Berhalter. We're doing a projected lineup, not necessarily what we would choose to play. So let's start at the back. You've got Stephen and Turner. You're flipping that coin again. Obviously, Berhalter has decided that it comes up Zach Stephen for him right now or recently. What do you think?
I'm going, obviously I think Zach Steffen's going to get the start. It's in Columbus again. For some reason, that seems to be where he gets starts. Even when Matt Turner has been on a blaze. So, I'm going Zach Steffen.
Okay.
Now
you would go Turner still at this point?
Oh, if I was a coach, I think Turner's the whole time has been better.
Well, okay. But the one thing is that Turner's out of season now. So, and I know Zach Steffen doesn't play a ton.
Come
I know.
On.
Okay. No. Hey man, I'm not throwing it out there. It's a thing. All right. So Zach Steffen at the back. Your back line. Are you going 4-3-3? Are we settling on that for
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'm going 4-3-3. I think that's the most. My left back is going to be obviously Anthony Robinson.
Yeah, with, has to be Jedi, right?
And Miles and Walker in the middle.
Shout out to Jedi, who's got jokes on his Instagram. He like a picture of his feet up in the plane, can't wait for sun, and then a picture of the snow-covered streets of Columbus, Ohio when he arrived in the United States. All right, so left back is Anthony Robinson. I hope we get safe. And I know that sounds bad because I want him to be aggressive, but he was the one player against Mexico who scared the living shit out of me. So I want to see him be better.
I think sometimes he has like Bambi on ice kind of legs. You know, and I'm really worried when he's actually going to be Bambi on ice in Edmonton. Like, I'm worried, like, some of these guys. I worry about Tim Weah on that field. I'm worried about Andy Robinson,
That's
the
Hamilton.
Guys who are speedsters that want to cut.
Edmonton is different than Hamilton. Those are different places.
Whatever. They're all somewhere in Canada.
They all got, like, 12 Tim Hortons within, like, 5 square miles.
Somewhere up in America's Top Hat, they're going to be playing a game.
That's first place
sorry,
Canada.
Sorry, America's Toque.
Jared, that's first place Canada to you. Come on, get it right. Okay.
Okay.
So let's move into the middle then before we get to the right back.
We didn't
back
do right back. I'm going to put Dest.
Oh,
you
want to do the other side?
It's a home game. Yeah. It's a home game.
I think Dest is probably going to start all three games. I do. I think that you want to go for points, you start him all three games. You make, especially with Alphonso Davies out. That is the reason why, and you're the one that's saying it.
Yeah.
That opens things up for Serginho Dest to be way more aggressive than he would have been if Davies was on the field.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Robinson and Dest in the middle. Is it Whit Walker and MMA. Miles?
MMA. Oh, in the middle. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about midfield.
No, in the middle. No. Sorry. In the middle. So the center backs. Give me your center backs.
Yeah, Walker's in mid, Miles Robinson.
Okay, come back to the out-of-season thing. And again, if Brooks was here, I would maybe ponder John Brooks being in this starting lineup. He's not even in the team. I could argue for Chris Richards to get a start. I could do that.
You could. I think you're wrong.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of who do you swap him out
so
with.
So the only reason you put Chris Richards in there is if for some reason you think that Walker Zimmerman and Miles Robinson are not 90 minutes fit. Other than that, why would you take out a pitcher on a no-hitter? You know, that's what is happening here. Now, if you're going to sub him out, I think the natural replacement is for Miles Robinson. Yes. I think that's the guy. Now, I think Zimmerman is more essential to what the players he brought than Miles Robinson. Walker Zimmerman is more essential because in Chris Richards and Mark McKenzie, you have two other guys that are fast passing, I think more dynamic, not the physical presence that Walker Zimmerman brings. You didn't bring another center back to do that.
John Brooks is that other guy. I know he plays on the left, but he's that other physical
Doesn't
presence.
And guys can play on
here's
sides.
The thing about that, though, Jared, if you bring John Brooks, and look, I know that means you drop one of these players, but if you bring John Brooks, now you have a physical option on the left side and a physical option on the right side in Zimmerman, and you can swap out and pair those guys with different players to fit their strengths, right? I don't know. It's wild. Again, there's got to be some other stuff going on that means John Brooks isn't in this team right now, but it's just
frustrating. I think if Walker Zimmerman was to get hurt, if he is to get hurt, God, knock on wood, if he was to get hurt in game one, it's three-back system for the next two games.
Don't speak that poison on this show. What are you
doing? I think it's a three-back setup. I think Walker Zimmerman is more essential to the playing a four-man back lineback there over these three games than Miles Robinson is.
Okay. There's at least some thought. Again, in season, you're playing significant, meaningful games if you're Chris Richards and Mark McKenzie and obviously, again, I mentioned John Brooks, who isn't here. You're taking MLS guys who haven't played in the case of...
Canada's going to be playing MLS guys, too.
This is true to a certain extent, but it doesn't mean that you can just say, well, it evens out, and therefore we play guys who aren't sharp. I hope they look good in training in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's hot, where I don't know why they're there instead of somewhere cold, or why they were there. All right, let's move into the midfield. It's MMA. We don't even need to debate that one. And Leon, I think you could possibly play that group in all three matches, start them in all three matches. You may be liberal.
Yeah, I think
liberal.
So. I said it a little bit earlier, but for people that don't know, Yunus Musa is on his fourth straight start and a goal in his last appearance. Musa is hitting some form finally for Valencia.
The only thing I cannot remember, the chat will know this, and I did see some mention. Yellow cards. People remind us where we are with yellow cards.
McKennie, I believe, is on one.
I think Tyler is. I don't know that McKennie is.
Stefan, I believe, is.
Because McKennie missed the Jamaica game because he picked one up against Mexico. Is that right? Or did
no,
he?
No, I think Morgan corrected us on that last time. I don't think that was correct.
That was not correct. So he picked one up against Mexico, and now the next one will get him suspended. Is that what it is?
People in the chat saying Tyler Adams is on one.
Tyler is definitely on one. Tyler's had some red mist kind of moments. Where he's done
what
some dumb stuff.
What you hope is that by the third game of this, you've locked up top three. If you've locked up top three, get a yellow card. It doesn't matter. You know, like you want to come out of this window. I think potentially you could be qualified at the end of this window with the right results.
Like truly mathematically, it's done and dusted. Like there's
yeah,
a little X
so.
Next to our name. Are you sure about that? I'm not
I
positive.
I think so. I okay. think there's.
That's math. I don't do math. Somebody tell me about the math. That is not a thing that I could possibly figure out. But I think if you get 9 points and now you're on 24 points, you're right that it just makes it really hard for anybody to catch you for a top three spot. Right?
Yeah, so, for sure. But midfield is all right. This is the midfield for the next 10 years. This is a great midfield.
This is what it was. McKennie picked a yellow card. I had it right, guys. He picked up the yellow card against Mexico. He was suspended for the game against Jamaica. That's what it was with McKennie.
Well, because I said that last show and Morgan told me I was wrong. I guess I'm wrong.
No, there was confusion about him being on a yellow. He's not on a yellow. So you have Tyler in the midfield who's on a yellow. All right, everybody chill. Okay, so that's the midfield group, the four group. It's going to be Pulisic, at least in game one, right? 100%.
Yeah.
It's going to be Pepe in game one, right? 100%? Or are you a little bit less than 100% on Pepe in game one?
No, I think you give him the chance. He's been the guy. I don't think he's full of confidence right now, but I think you go with the hand that's gotten you here so far.
Okay, and then on the other side, this is where there will be some intrigue. I mean, again, Timmy is healthy enough to start for Leo coming back from his injury, which I kept him out for about a month. I would say start him, especially after what happened against Mexico. I would want to see that work.
I would agree with that, because I think in the Canada game, that's probably where you're going to see Paul Arriola, where you want a little more defensive-minded person over there. So I would go with Tim Weah as well. We got, remember, this is the guy that was red hot at the end of the last window, the guy that helped us secure points that last window.
By the way, I should
back,
play,
and I think that
I should play the man's drop.
It was there.
Here we go, saucing him up. Hit him. What?
There you go. Oh, by the way, Zach Steffen also on a yellow card because of the Mexico game. DeAndre Yedlin on a yellow card. Thank you, Nicholas Murray. So does that change your goalkeeper thing? I mean, obviously, Zach's probably going to be smart enough not to get a yellow card, but hey, who knows?
Well, and he should have been smart enough not to run across the field on the eye gouge and not get one in the first place.
Hey, maybe that's another reason you say what? Maybe he shouldn't start. If you can't be smart enough not to make a 65-yard sprint because Brennan Aaronson got manhandled a little bit, let the guys in the middle.
I like this kind of like 50% shade right here from Altmoof, where he says, you don't think he'll start Zardes in Columbus? Isn't there part of you? Listen, there's no reason we should believe this.
No, that come
on. Isn't there part of you that thinks in the back, there's like a 10% chance that Triple G goes full Columbus and he puts him in there because his heart will be in it?
Man, I don't know. I hope not. I hope that that's not the thinking. I mean, the only reason I could think that Berhalter would do that is to actually thumb his nose at people who don't like his choices. Because you don't do it if you're trying to win, because I don't think that's the best team you can field. I don't think I think even Greg Berhalter knows that Ricardo Pepi's a better goal scorer, at least right now, than Jossie Zardes. So if you need goals, I don't know. Look, I know recent form and all of that, but Zardes hasn't played a meaningful game because
I can't get that 6-yard miss from Carson a couple weeks ago for that Pepi missed, like, out of my head. Like,
he's good for one of those a game, but then he'll also pop up and score. And we're not talking worldies, but he'll pop up and score good center forward goals. And he does the thing. And I had a conversation with somebody. Actually, had a conversation with somebody who coached and maybe even helped discover Axel Kai, the 14-year-old player that RSL just signed. This is in Kansas City when I was out there for the coaches convention.
Badass name, by the way.
And that we were talking about, because he thinks Axel Kai is going to be the real thing. And I don't know. He's 14. I was like, I don't know what he's going to be. And he said what he has is that ability to forget. To just be so confident in his ability to do the thing that he's supposed to do, that the miss doesn't matter to him.
So something that some people might call Breckness. Like that Breck Shea ability not to remember anything that would make you embarrassed about yourself.
I think that, you know, the United States has had a couple of those players over the years, but especially at center forward, it's the thing that makes you potentially great. And look, there are levels to greatness. I'm not ever going to say that Ricardo Pepi is on a path to Robert Lewandowski. I'm not going to say that. But he has something about him that he's going to repeat the thing he does to score goals. He's just going to keep doing it. And if he misses a 6-yard sitter, okay, he's going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. He's not going to disappear. He's not going to be like, oh, I can't finish now. No, he scores so many goals at every level he plays. I think
he's selfish enough, too. I think he's got enough selfishness in him, not to a criminal extent, but more than Jossie Zardes does, where you feel like Jossie Zardes is not selfish.
We didn't really. So we mentioned PFOC. We didn't really get this. I don't think a lot of people are on this train. Jeremiah says that Josh Sargent shouldn't be here because he scored. I thought he said should. I read it wrong in the first place. Should be here for everything he does well on the right. So there's an option about playing him wide.
On the right.
Let's give the man, however, since we are here, let's give the man...
Baby! That's all, baby. Due.
The first one is 100% at all. It's a
score. The dude just reacted and put his foot up real quick.
But that's what a goal scorer is supposed to do. Who can? What do you mean?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't intentional, like so intentional that it's obviously he found a way to put the ball in the net with a cross behind him. How many forwards just completely whiff on that? How many forwards whiff on that? And you don't even realize they missed a chance. He turned not a chance into a goal. I think you got to give him an old baby for that. You just don't like redheads or something. What's going on?
No, it's not the case. Isla Fisher is one of my most attractive women, I think, in Hollywood. So, like, it's not the case. But I don't know. I more power to him. I'm happy the guy got two goals. The U.S. could use a guy that scores goals. But is he a right forward now, or is he a center forward?
Yeah, question about that. Look, and he's got a long way to go before we're like, oh, yeah, he's back in the national team picture, and he's a guy we really think should be in this mix. But It's not a position of strength right now, at least center forward. Again, even if Sargent's playing on the right for Norwich.
Yeah, but okay, but Jeremiah is saying, like, Sargent is better on the right than Areola. Like,
How do we know that?
Like, he's played a handful of games in that position, and it looked horrible, and then he had one good game, and we're saying he's better than these other guys in that position?
It's definitely limited data in terms of his time with Norwich doing it. It's a different, you can't compare the U.S. men's national team to Norwich in terms of the guys, how they play.
There's so much recency bias with this. Like, it's, DeGore scored two goals in one game, and all of a sudden he's back. Or like the guy did nothing for 3 years.
I don't think a lot of people say he's back. I think they're. Three I think we're years. Just we can be encouraged, right? I
never happy I, for him. Stoked
I even,
for him.
I was the one that, I mean, defended him. You were a Sergeant hater from the very beginning. You didn't give the guy
not a hater, a realist. All right. A realist. Like, okay. The dude's getting starting nods with the U.S. national team with like no goals. Like, why would I not? That's a realist. That's not me being a hater. Here's
the thing. Again, Jeremiah's got a good point about Areola not playing in months. I'm not saying you take Sargent. They hadn't scored before the roster came out. That happened after the roster dropped. Let's just say that. Areola hasn't played in months. That is true. But again, I've already said this. What Berhalter likes from Areola is that he gets full effort and an understanding of what he needs on both sides of the ball from that guy. Okay. And then there's also a comment about the fact that Areola doesn't score, or he wouldn't have scored that chance, certainly. Okay, regardless of that chance, Areola doesn't score a bunch of goals. He does occasionally pop up with a goal.
If I'm not mistaken.
If Ariel's in the game, though, Berhalter's looking for goals from other places, right? He's looking for something else from that position. It's attacking elements. It's not 1v. Look at how Areola plays the position differently than Timothy Weah. Areola is not setting up Christian Pulisic for that pinpoint cross to score against Mexico. He's not doing that. He's not beating two defenders on the dribble to set up that goal for Christian Pulisic. That's not what Areola is going to do.
But
he will bust his ass, and he will make life hell for those defenders on that side if Berhalter is looking for something else. And again, you make a choice. Do I want a player who can just destroy a defender 1v1 and do what Weah did? Or do I want a guy who's going to do a little bit more defensive work, whose engine is never going to quit, and who's going to make runs off the ball that people don't even sometimes notice that open up space, right?
I'm and not saying can do that too. Josh Sargent can't be a serviceable right forward, but the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, up until this weekend, 0 goals, 0 assists in 18 games for Norwich?
I think those numbers are correct, Mr. Butarski.
Yeah. Don't tell me he had an assist on that own goal. Like, get out of here on that, okay? So
you're not going to give him a ton of credit for the first goal because it was reactive, fine, whatever. The second goal was a good forwards goal.
Good goal. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's made from a late run from a right side, which is an interesting thing, and I don't know. I just think Josh Sargent's path to a position on the U.S. national team is far clearer as a 9 than as a right forward. You know, that's deep in terms of Weah. I mean, you've got, we haven't talked about Gio Reyna when he comes back. Gets healthy.
Yeah, and he's going to push Morris, who, you know.
Josh Sargent, I want Greg Berhalter to see me as a striker, a number 9, a center striker. Mm-hmm. That's where my path to a role in the U.S. men's national team is.
Okay. Let's get to one call on this before we move on, or before we talk about transfer stuff and some other things. Felix in Chicago, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We are good, man. Got a roster. The nerves are coming back, though. I'm starting to get that little bubbly feeling in my stomach over all this.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about it. First of all, everyone's freaking out about some of these MLS players being on the roster. So-and-so hasn't played in 2 months. Everyone, I don't know if you guys have covered this because I've been watching the playoffs, the NFL playoffs, but everyone's dealing with this. Honduras, El Salvador, Canada, half of their starting lineup is MLS players. So everybody is dealing with players being out of form. The only one who's probably is going to be the minimal thing is Mexico because the Liga MX has already started and we're not playing them. So first of all, everyone's going to be dealing with this. I would, some of this stuff about, so-and-so hasn't played in 2 months. I'm not too worried about it. What I did want to talk about was, first of all, you were talking about Paul Areola. If everybody was healthy, he's probably 6th best on the winger depth chart. So I think sometimes some of this freaking out about Areola, I think, is a little over the top. That being said, I think, Jason, what you were saying about how he everyone talks about he just busts his ass, like he's just like a chicken with his head cut off. If you watch the game where I thought he was most effective, I'm not going to say he's an amazing player. but where he was most effective is that Jamaica game. If you see how many chances he created from the pressures that he put on opposing players, and they made a bad pass and then a turnover happened, or he made a run that generated some type of chance. You have to remember those two potential red cards in that Jamaica game that weren't called because the referee was just off that day, was off of either Areola direct run or a pass from Areola, something like that. So again, I'm not going to say he's an amazing player, but he is more effective than people give him credit for. And then some of the players that people want to put in his place, like Conrad De La Fuente, I'm sorry, this is probably a bit of a hot take. Right now, in this time of his career, Conrad De La Fuente is overrated. He's a one-trick pony. He's a YouTube highlight, but he is not. His technical ability does not give him the ability to be to impose onto a game and be effective in a game in, game out.
Well, I don't.
How many players can do that anyway? How many players can do that anyway?
Again, I come back to this. I think Conrad De La Fuente's ceiling might be higher than Paul Areola's in terms of pure talent.
100%.
But what you don't have a book on Conrad that says I can trust him in moments I might need him in a World Cup qualifier. You know less about what he might do in those games. Now, maybe you could argue that's Berhalter's fault for not giving Conrad more chances. I don't think he's been playing a whole lot for Marseille recently, so I think that's also a factor here. But there's not like a wealth of evidence that Conrad De La Fuente is going to play better in a qualifier than Areola. He might be a better player overall, and on his best day, it's a gamble, right? You're choosing, okay, I'm going to take a player with more potential to change the game over a guy who I know is going to put in an honest shift. And he will make choices about the high ceiling and taking risks in other parts of the field. The goal is obviously to have world-class players at every position who you know are going to play great every time they step on the field. We're not there. That's not who we are, right? So I don't know. It's crazy.
The last thing on the Sargent thing versus like Weah or Aronson or something like that, it's not just that Sargent hadn't had any goals during that time. The guys looked like hot dookie for 18 games for Norwich. Hot dookie.
We're not talking about. Listen,
I know Aronson and Weah don't have a lot of goals or anything like that, but when you watch them, they don't look like garbage. You know, like the guy, great game. I hope he builds on this. He's a confidence guy. He got that kid. And I hope he's like feeling good about himself. Crowds chanting USA, USA. I want the guy to do well. But Brendan Aronson also hasn't played because Austria has been closed for a while now. I've been off season for a little bit right now.
Yeah, winter break.
And Tim Weah has been injured. I'm not going to hold that against him necessarily. But when I'm watching Josh Sargent, the dude was lost for 18 games playing a position he doesn't normally play.
Wait, I don't want to talk about Josh Sargent because he was never going to be in this team regardless. I want to ask people in the chat, and maybe I can ask you, Jared, again, where the priorities are for you in terms of this roster. Everybody gets one in, one out. Everybody only gets one in, one out. You have to pick one player that you want out of this roster to put in one player, right? You tell me, where is your what player are you taking out and who you putting in, Jared? If you had the ability to do this, snap your fingers. You're like in that movie with Chachi with Charles in Charge where he has the ability
Zapped?
To Zapped, that's the one I'm talking about. That guy.
Make the skirts fly up.
Screw him. And what's his name? Why am I blanking on his name? Scott Baio. Screw Scott Baio. But that movie, you're zapped. You got the power. Tell me.
Oh, okay. Do I have the power to also make Joe Scally not coming back from COVID?
Well, he's back healthy enough to be available.
I think there was worry that maybe he couldn't travel to Canada if he came or something like that because he's recently had it. So
okay.
If I was making it, I would say possible. I would say Scally up for no, actually, you know what? I would say, man, I almost want to say John Brooks for Brooks Lennon. But I'm gonna say Scally for
he was
for
like
Brooks
the Brooks
Lennon.
Brooks thing. Brooks was here. Brooks wasn't here.
I would say Scally for Brooks Lennon is the zapped move I would make.
Okay, like a lot of people are saying that one
or heal Gio Reyna, and I would put him
no,
in.
No, okay, yeah, I guess if I gave you zapped powers, you could heal Gio Reyna. But I'm saying
go in there and fix his ligaments.
The reality of the moment with players available, right? Because again, we come back to the MLS thing. I'm not gonna make a big deal out of it, right? I know the out of form thing scares the crap out of me. If there were obvious choices at five or six positions. Where it's like, well, that player's in season, take an MLS player out and put them in. I'd be okay with that. I just don't think it's as clear as I would like it to be in a couple of spots, right? It's not like the player in Europe is so much better or so much. Like, okay, maybe you could argue PFOC versus Zardes.
Yeah.
You could argue PFOC versus Zardes. In fact, I would probably have done that one.
You could argue PFOC over Ferreira, too, if you really wanted to.
You could, but as you pointed out, that may be more about the versatility of a Ferreira.
It's not a one-for-one kind of thing style-wise.
It's not a one-for-one thing. All right.
I mean, you could say we didn't mention one name. So before we move on, there's one name we didn't mention. And now, unfortunately, we probably won't be able to mention for a little bit. But Daryl DK didn't get a shout in this.
He did not. You're right.
I mean, that little bit surprised. You surprised by that one?
Based on the roster we have.
PFOC or DK, who was closer for you?
PFOC was closer because he scored and he's been in the team since qualifying started. DK hasn't been in a qualifying roster. And I think that worked a lot against him. And partly, you know, it's not really his fault. He was kind of carrying all those injuries and dealing with issues coming out of the Gold Cup period and into the late season for Orlando. You know, I don't know. That may be because he wasn't in the team before, and so Berhalter doesn't have a book on him in a national team setup with this group and everything. That may be leave him at West Brom, let him settle. Like, that may be better for DK.
Yeah, I think PFOC's 7 goals in 9 games right now. So, I mean, definitely there's something to be said about one of the only strikers out there that's scoring right now. The DK thing, I wouldn't argue that DK's in any way a better form or anything than PFOC. My argument for DK would be the same one I make for Jesus Ferreira. DK gives you something tactically that you don't have in any other player. Like, if you wanted to change the shape and make the defense play differently, DK makes that happen. Yeah. PFOC is going to be in good position, probably more likely to get you a goal, but DK changes the shape of a defense.
Yeah. Okay, a couple things on these games. Actually, Felix, I'm going to give you one more shot if you got something else before I let you go.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you guys talked much about John Brooks and the whole thing, how it's looking like John Brooks is being dropped.
Okay, yeah, you need to go.
Okay.
Yeah, listen back. Listen back later.
Okay. All right. No, then. Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of the night.
Yeah.
Thank you, Felix in Chicago.
Anxious to hear what the diagnosis is on DK's injury, having to leave the game. So
was that? Did that just happen? Okay, that happened. I missed that. Okay. All right. So I wanted to a couple of notes here. So again, there is that thing about the playing field being a little bit more level because El Salvador relies on a bunch of MLS players. They're out of season. Canada does. Honduras, they're the same, right? Local players.
And we should also make note that not just Davies out for this game.
Stephen Estacio is also out with COVID.
So, I mean, two big, huge, I'm going to say midfield for Davies. He can play anywhere. He's all over the place. But two big
losses
to their losses to their starting lineup for sure.
Yeah. No, I think Davies is a game changer, and we saw it in Nashville. And obviously, he's huge. He's been huge for them. The last one out, then they beat Costa Rica. Yeah. That he's the game changing player. He's the biggest loss. But I'll tell you what, Stephen Estacio is low key just as important as Alphonso Davies in that team. And without Estacio, you lose complete control of the midfield. Yeah, look out. The United States might be running a little wild in that.
I think Canada might be forced to play a different game.
Oh, I think so. I think they're going to have to sit real deep.
It's home. You know they want to come out guns blazing, but I mean, Yunus Musa is going to eat up that space if they give it to him, and that's going to be really dangerous.
They also cut the capacity for that game. I was hearing things while I was in Kansas City, something about canceling all the tickets. I think the besties were talking about in the Slack, starting over, COVID regulations changing in Ontario. I don't know where that is. And that's the other thing. Like, all of this is kind of impacted by COVID hanging over everybody's head. And Berhalter says everybody on this team can travel. And that, I think that's also a nod to, hey, maybe there were some guys I didn't call that couldn't travel to Canada, as you sort of alluded to with
to address
Scully.
Jackie's saying, has Sargent had a better EPL career than Josie? COVID has had a better EPL career than Josie, you know?
No, man. COVID certainly affected more games than Josie out there did in England. Yeah. That's 100% true. There's no doubt about that.
That's the lowest bar to clear.
Yeah. So they did a ticket lottery rerun, Mr. JTT, Jonathan Tannen, Taylor Tannenwald tells us. Okay, so before we get out of here, we went through a lineup. We're still a couple days away from the first game. I wanted to touch on some of the news around national team players and what's going on. And, you know, we didn't talk about Kellen Acosta going from Colorado to LAFC that much. I don't think we made a big deal out of it. That one's fine. That one's interesting. But there are a couple. Brendan Aaronson. Leeds is coming hard for Brendan Aaronson. They offered £15 million, and Red Bull Salzburg was like, no, he's not. He's worth more than that. They came back with £20 million, and Red Bull Salzburg is still trying to say we're keeping him. They're the Champions League. I think that has a lot to do with it. But is that a good place for Brendan Aaronson to land?
It's not just that. He's in the Champions League, and he's already in a system where they could do their own backdoor deals for a really good price and get him up to the Leipzig team if they wanted to. You know, like,
well, I wonder if those, look, when numbers become public, it's usually agents who are involved in putting those numbers out. Okay. So yeah. I wonder if these numbers are public, because then Salzburg basically can't do a 12 million pound, 12 million euro deal to Leipzig, like, because, oh, you just turned down 20 mil for this kid, now you're taking 12 because you got this relationship.
Shady.
That's shady as hell, right?
Do you want him at Leeds?
I think he would work at
Beelzebul.
Leeds because of the way Bielsa play. That's why they want him. Did you see what Curtin said? I don't have the full context of this. Jim Curtin,
I trust
says
him. He's a numbers guy.
He covers more ground than all but 1%.
The top 1% of ground covered in the world.
What? I don't even know what that means. Like, what does that mean?
Man, imagine if he just cut his hair, how much faster he'd be.
He works and works and works and works. And that is probably why he's very attracted to Leeds.
The hard thing about going to Aaronson going to Leeds is that Bielsa doesn't stick anywhere. And it's hard to be the coach after Bielsa because of the way he plays.
I think the only thing that would give me pause, you're right, although Bielsa's been there for a while, but that would give me pause because maybe it's 3 or 4 at this point. So that's about as long as Bielsa does in any one spot, but he seems comfortable
so
there.
So do you want to be the Bielsa guy that play that's important for the Bielsa system, and then maybe
pigeonholed,
they're not
you
doing
mean?
As what?
Yeah, like pigeon, you're saying he's going to get pigeonholed?
Yeah. Do you want to be the guy that's brought in to help with the system, and then let's say he's not there next season. Like, are you important still then?
I think he's still valuable. He had other teams interested in him. I know the Milan thing went cold, but he's got other teams that want him. I don't. The thing about Leeds is that it has to be a stepping stone and not the end line for Brendan Aaronson. And maybe it could be. I mean, he's still young, right? They're 15th right now or something like that. They're not in the relegation zone. They look fairly safe, but they're not playing for Europe right now. And that's a long road because of where Leeds came from, just getting back in the Premier League. But that is a level, and the Premier League has not been good to American players recently. Not outside of Christian Pulisic's one run after COVID, right? It just hasn't been good. So I don't know. I'm kind
of I've got to pick your poison for you. It just came up to me just all of a sudden. It's totally off topic, but I want to really hit it real quick.
Yeah,
we've talked a lot about Brooks Lennon maybe being an odd choice in the lineup. Uh-huh. If you had to have one of these two players to fill the needs in that back line for this window, would you rather have Brooks Lennon or Tim Ream?
Oh my God.
Tim Ream, who has played every game for Fulham this year, fire.
We were just talking about Brendan Aaronson. Now we're talking about Tim Ream and okay.
I told you, Tim Ream. It came up to my head.
I would take Tim Ream 100 times out of 100 over Brooks Lennon.
I would too, and I feel I need to shower after I say it.
No, I don't think it's that dirty. Look, Tim Ream is not a bad soccer player. There may be other guys in a national team pool, especially considering his age, who you would rather see. But Tim Ream is a damn good soccer. We got to stop doing this thing where we take a guy who's just barely not good enough for our national team picture, or who we see as the old guard and we need to get out, and treating him like trash. Tim Ream's career has been incredible. And if Tim Ream was having this career 15 years ago as an American, it'd be one of the best American careers out there. But we're not going to talk about it that way because Tim Ream has a couple of mistakes in his national team past, and he doesn't look like
the
player we
wonder.
Want.
Greg Berhalter, who was in love with Tim Ream early in his tenure, why wouldn't he be there now?
Because he thinks the other center back, I know he can also play left back, but nobody really wants to see that. He thinks the other center backs have closed the gap enough that it's no longer worth taking Tim Ream just because of his leadership abilities or his versatility. Right, because you're taking up a roster spot that could go to McKenzie. If you really believe McKenzie's going to be good enough to be a national
team. No, we're talking
about
a dark spot that takes a spot for Brooks Lennon.
No, in this case.
Because he can play left back if you need him to, Tim Ream. He's done it.
He can play left back if you need him to. That's,
and he can definitely play in a 3-man back line.
He can definitely do that. That is true.
So I'm just saying that's an interesting choice to me that was made. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I brought your whole thing, your whole segment to an abrupt stop.
You sometimes did.
Sometimes I'm struck by genius.
Is that what that is? Calling that genius?
No one else is having that conversation. No one else is doing that pick your poison.
Okay, let's go to somebody who is also on the roster and could be making a move. And I'll tell you what, as far as like surprising potential transfers. And like every now and then you'll hear a transfer rumor and go, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. I get it. Like you wouldn't know it was coming, but you can kind of nod along with it.
Like sometimes, Aaronson to Leeds.
Yeah, Aaronson to Leeds. That makes sense. Lots of boxes get checked and, you know, valuation is interesting. I'm learning something about what maybe the market says Brendan Aaronson is worth, which is great. It's like, I think 20 million pounds is something like $25-ish million. It's really, really, really good. Matt Turner to Arsenal, my man. What, I mean, not that he's not good, and not that he didn't have maybe a possibility of going to Europe, but Arsenal is not the club I would be like, yeah, definitely, I get it. It 100% makes sense. Arsenal.
It's a keeper. Keepers make sense anywhere.
I guess that's what it is.
Here's the question. Is he good enough for the Premier League?
I think he's good enough. I don't think he's going to start.
They're not in Europe.
No, that's a good point. It's not part of this is also having that like echo effect of what Arsenal used to be, knowing that they're not that Arsenal now. They're not going to go spin.
And listen, what goes together better than muskets and cannons? You know, like that trade makes sense.
Oh, come on. I don't know what
they're
the
on
numbers
theme.
Are. What's the number? Have you seen the number?
I don't know if there's a number out there. So what do you think a number for Matt Turner to be? A goalie. And that's not a move we see. Stack Steffen was paid the last one to Man City. I'm not sure what that was. Is 7 million the right number?
I think it was seven.
For Matt Turner?
8 to 10 for Zach Steffen. I think it's right. I think now
Matt Turner's older than Steffen went.
True, but I think I remember it being in the same area. Now I'm suddenly remembering a report I read that said it was something like that. Right?
Yeah, 7 sounds like a number for me.
By the way,
I'm not
everybody's
sure.
saying that he wouldn't start. That's the thing that he has to think about, right? Because he gets a say in this. Like, the Revs could be like,
cha-ching. You don't have to be a starter to start for the U.S. national team. We know that already. Zach Steffen doesn't start.
No, but he might want to play in a way that maybe Zach Steffen is more comfortable with not playing at City because he's learning under Pep.
Yeah.
Right? He's becoming a modern, truly modern goalkeeper. Turner is not a truly modern goalkeeper, not in the way that
Steffen
is. You
have Steffen no idea what the age on Ramsdale is?
It's not old enough that he's going anywhere. Why?
Do you think he's older or younger than Turner? I'm just wondering. Like, is there a play there?
He's way younger. He's 23. He's a couple years younger, right?
Ramsdale's younger?
Younger. Ramsdale's 23 years old.
He's 23 years old. Man, I didn't think he was that young. Okay.
Because Matt Turner's 27. There you go.
I thought they were closer than that. All right.
Yeah, look. So Dan's saying he might get a loan. I don't think that's what this is. This is literally Arsenal going shopping for a backup because then things are moving around and the backup keeper at Arsenal is leaving. Or at least this could be the thing that causes that to happen. And it's
or Arsenal is on the slide and you could potentially sell Ramsdale for a profit and have Turner as a starter.
I mean, if you believe that that is possible, I suppose. It's possible. But you're taking the risk that could even happen if you're Matt Turner again.
For sure.
Now, this is also interesting, and because it's Major League Soccer, some clubs fall backwards into big returns on players in Europe. It happens. But the Revs could be making, what, 7 mil on Tejan Buchanan, right? They could be another 10 on Matt Turner. I think Buxa has, I think they've got some offers on Buxa that could be at least like that, 10 million bucks, something in that area.
No offers on DJ Jazzy Jones, though.
DeJuan Jones, yeah. I think DeJuan Jones has been mentioned as a possible transfer target as well. So they could clean up something like $25 million on players they just drafted.
They're the new Dallas.
So obviously, Books is a player they signed and paid for, but still.
And Areno will still make the playoffs.
Probably still make the playoffs. Although, they won't be as good as they were with Matt Turner in goal if he
leaves. No one works a waiver wire like Bruce Arena. He knows where the nuggets are, the crumbs on the table.
Well, apparently, a decent keeper in Major League Soccer. Maxime Crépeau is top five, probably, in Major League Soccer. $1 million bucks in GAM in funny money for Maxime Crépeau. Would you want your team paying that if you needed a goalkeeper at that level?
That's a lot of money for a goalkeeper. That's a lot of money for a goalkeeper. Starter for a national team, though, I mean, that's pretty good. And if you're LAFC...
Hold on. People who pay attention to Canada more than I do, is Borjan ahead of Crépeau, or is that just an injury situation because Crépeau was coming back? Because I think Borjan is still the guy, right?
I don't know. It could be either way. They both have the starts. I'm not sure.
You're saying they're both good enough, but they're also both playing games, whereas we have two goalkeepers who are not playing games and they're fighting for starts.
If I'm LAFC, they've had keeper woes since they came into the league.
Yeah,
you know? Nice to kind of have that buttoned down. Their defense has been horrible the last couple of years since Walker Zimmerman left. I think you start there and you start building out of there. But $1 million, that's a lot of money, man. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. You could do a lot of work. And LAFC has found nuggets in Central and South America for the cheap. And to spend $1 million, $1 million to them is a creative attacking midfielder somewhere that would be amazing. But they've had those and they still couldn't win because their defense was
horrible. They're paying a premium.
Maybe they're smart.
They're paying a premium for a known quantity in a position that they've had a problem with. I get it. I do get it. I see what that is. Okay. Any other business? I mean, I feel like there's so many more national team topics we get again.
Are we going to talk about PFOC? Potentially going to Venezia?
Oh, yeah, we can throw that one on. So it's a collect American situation at Venezia with Venezia's interest.
You
got
to give them props for, like, they're going after Nani. Like, they're trying to be ambitious.
They signed Nani. He's a player there now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were going after him, but yeah, they got him. Yeah.
So is it, do you think Venezia in 2 years is in Europe somewhere? Do you think they're making European football in the next 2 years?
I don't know. I know. Dan, we've mentioned that they're owned by Americans. That's definitely a factor here. This is a little bit. The fun thing about Venezia, and I know there's like an easy way to look at this as a negative, but the fun thing about Venezia, it is like, it's like if a kid got a team. Like, what would you do if suddenly you were 12 years old and you owned a soccer team?
No, every time you play Football Manager, what do you go do? Yeah. You go stock it with Americans. That's what you do. You get the young ones. You see what they can do.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what they're doing out there. But with PFOC, at least you could say that he's scoring goals, and the slight on him could be, he's doing it in Switzerland.
I would love it, and for this specific reason. It's hard for me to gauge where he's at because he's in Switzerland.
But he's playing Champions League.
Yeah, but he's in Switzerland. They made the Champions League because they're in Switzerland. You know what I'm saying?
They also put up a result against Manchester United.
They did, and then they subsequently fell off a cliff and ended up finishing last in that group. But you're right.
It's a hard thing to gauge. It's a hard thing to gauge in that league. So getting him to Venezia, whether he's successful or not, gives you the ability to see him at a level that you understand and is known.
That's what I would like, to have a better idea of how good Jordan PFOC is based on the competition he's facing every week. That's why it was...
And I agree with this from Soccer USA here. If Pepe doesn't score this window, alarm bells.
Alarm bells, and then you do what? Put PFOC in?
Why not?
Okay, sure, but who...
Josh Sargent's scoring goals, man.
All right, as you trolling,
by the next window he's gonna have 8, right?
Uh-huh. If Ricardo Pepi didn't score in this window, you get the siren that Soccer USA just referenced.
If he doesn't score this window, that starting job is up for grabs.
You put
grabs.
In a red head who looks like the red siren, and you replace, that's terrible. I'm not doing that.
Right. If he doesn't score this window, that job is back up for grabs.
Yeah, I think the job is always up for grabs. I just don't think he's burned his goodwill yet. And he may. You're right. This may be the window. 3 games against the bottom 2 teams in qualifying right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. It should be on the table. And how about this? It's not necessarily that he needs to score. It's that he needs not miss his chances. So if he doesn't end up with a good chance, and maybe that's on him. Movement, positioning, his.
Well, this could be the first time, if I remember correctly, he's going to get to start a game with 2 elite guys next to him, in Pulisic and Weah. Like, he hasn't had that chance.
I don't think he's had
to play
that
with those 2 guys around him.
Right, he hasn't. I don't think he's had that. I think he has had MMA behind him. Right, yeah. So we're gonna see. All right,
interesting. So one last thing before we go, I have a question for you.
Okay,
is this a 9-point roster?
Yes. He's a 9-point roster. Ugh.
Is this roster that he brought in a 9-point roster?
Against the 3 opponents they have, and considering Canada has lost 2 of their best players, yes, it's a 9-point roster.
I'm going to say so as well.
It's a 9-point roster.
The Davies and
it is not. Greg Berhalter gets fired if he doesn't get 9 points. Okay, he gets fired if he gets 0 points. Absolutely, he probably gets fired if he gets 3 points because that's not good enough. Okay, I would fire him. They won't, but he should be. 6 points is the bare minimum to be like, okay, well, a little bit of work left to do in that last window, and it's Mexico, right, Costa Rica.
I got a fun scenario for you then.
Uh-huh.
Do you draw the 2 home games, or do you win the Canada game? 5 points.
No.
No losses.
No, not good enough. No. Okay. No, you don't get to spend.
You're not losing your job over there. Are you losing your job over that?
He's probably not losing his job because I don't think they want to try to figure out who the next guy is right now.
Jesse Marsh is available.
Jesse Marsh is available. Actually, that may put some pressure on him. That might. You're right. 5 points is a
7
disaster.
7 is minimum. 7 is minimum.
5 points is a disaster. 7 is a minimum. 9 is absolutely doable. Let's friggin' go get 9 points for the first time in a window in 3 games in World Cup qualifying. Please. Please. Yep. And as you said, people can start making their trips and really know that the United States is going to be at the World Cup in Qatar in November. All right?
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. If you don't know, we have a Patreon where you can sign up and get extra stuff, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. We just had somebody jump in today who I added to the Slack. If you sign up for the Patreon, you get added to our Slack community. The besties are like, it's crazy. I can't keep up. We kept talking about this. I go in there and like every channel has new messages. And I'm like, I got to follow these. But it's great.
It's getting big.
It's getting big. I want to shout out, David, who signed up just today. So a couple bucks a month gets you access to that stuff. You get the Slack, you get the bonus show. There's other things. There's events around the besties community and all kinds of stuff. If you need travel tips,
access to the travel channel right now, the besties travel with a lot of people going to the away games. If you want to arrive in town and have a community of people that you could potentially reach out to that you know are good people, get in the Slack, get in the travel channel. There's people that are going to these games that would potentially meet up with you if you're not a creeper.
You know how they had that? I never used it because I'm too old, but you know how they had that website was like a couch surfing website? Like literally if you needed a place to crash but you couldn't afford a hotel room, you could like
not
go
familiar,
on.
But it sounds super sketch.
Oh, it sounds super sketchy. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to do that and find some stranger and potentially sleep on a couch you don't know where it's been. You can go find a bestie, and a bestie will probably open up their home because they're amazing people. Oh. So there you go. All right. Yes. Anything else?
No guarantee on vacancies or lodging.
Reviews? I don't know that we've even no reviews. Okay. Go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review because that helps us out. And we need to pick up the pace here because it's World Cup year. Yeah, it's a World Cup year. It's a World Cup year. You know
that? Assuming it happens in Qatar. Who knows? Anything could happen out there.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. I know.
We could be hosting in the USA on a moment's notice.
Oh, well, that I'd be cool with.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah. And like us on YouTube and subscribe and all of those things, people. Like, do that. Help us out. Like, we're in a place right now with the World Cup here, with the people that are backing us for this show. We need to show that we've got this incredible community that is hyped for the World Cup.
And speaking of the incredible community, we have Morgan, our social media manager, is doing a fantastic job with us on our social media accounts into Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. She's got 50,000 TikTok.
It was way more
than
that by the time. Now it's way past that. But it was,
So follow us on all the socials, guys. And she's doing amazing work out there. Yeah. And make sure you're taking advantage of this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. She put the Clint Dempsey saucing him up drop.
On his own.
Oh, here we go. Saucing him up. Hit him. What?
Saucing him up on Clint Dempsey, saucing him up back in the day. That's the kind of joy you get out of what we're putting, what Morgan's doing.
Think Dempsey put sauce on his barbecue?
He's a Texas guy.
No.
Texas is
salt and pepper.
They're not sauce people. I had barbecue in Kansas City. People. Woo! I forget sometimes because I don't do it when I'm at home because it's not really a place that's worth it.
You complained the whole time about being 6 degrees.
It was 6 degrees. You would die. You would actually crawl
into
a hole.
You're literally up on the socials like, you guys think you want this life, but it's 6 degrees. People are living that life there all the time.
Exactly. And they're crazy for choosing so. They're absolutely true.
By the way, follow Jason on Instagram for some amazing thirst traps lately.
You don't like jokes? Okay. All right. I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I can't handle the abuse anymore. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Duh and or hello.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, baby!
You feel respect for the Gegner.
Go to DEFCON 2.
It was there.
Here we go, saucing him up. Hit him. What?
Damn, dog, that's an approach.
Oh, it's incredible!
Shadow Squad.